Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
What a huge Bachelor in Paradise night slash week.
We are so emotional. Like, we're going to try to hold it together. But honestly, it's so hard right now.
It's not our fault. Our tear ducts are just really shallow.
That's a thing. It's science.
It's just science. But here to provide us with some much-needed emotional support and maybe a little too much perfection is Bachelor in Paradise's very own sex panther, Kayla Quinn.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much for joining us,
Kayla.
So we need to start before it's too late to get into all of it with everything that went down with you and Jared and Ashley this week.
You showed up this week and somehow ended up being a little bit of the focus of these last two episodes.
I know. I wasn't really expecting that. I was kind of hoping to, like, hide in the background. but you really can't do that when you have this kind of, love climax. I don't know how to put it.
It's really tough also, I think, when you come in instead of being original cast, because you either fade into the background and don't get a rose, or you have to kind of come in with a bang.
And 100%.
Yeah. When you did more of the latter. So you came in, all the guys are immediately like, oh, look, it's the most perfect looking person we've ever seen.
Kayla's looking very awkward right now.
Cringe emoji.
You can't see this if you're listening to the podcast, but she looks very uncomfortable because of us. And you ended up choosing Jared to on the date with. Why did you pick Jared?
Just based on my conversation with all the guys, he was just really warm and welcoming, and we had the most in common, just being from the Northeast, and he just seemed like a great guy to get to know.
Yeah.
And were you aware at the time that he had gone on a date with Emily? I think he pulled you aside and told you after.
Right. I had no clue that he went on a date with Emily. And I actually am looking back, I'm kind of surprised at how deep her feelings were for him. And I kind of feel bad that I took that away from her.
Yeah, that is kind of the paradise game.
Yeah,
though,
it's the rules of the game, right?
Which makes what happened next so crazy.
You went on a date. Yeah. You went horseback riding.
Yes.
The date looked like fun.
It was so romantic. My horse's name was Tequila. His name was Alice. His horse's name was Allison. And we rode into the distance in the ocean. It was so much fun.
That's like the date that I would really want. Like, whenever it's a boat, I'm like, I would just throw up the whole time. Horseback riding is something I will never get to do unless I'm on Bachelor in Paradise, probably.
Also, did you enjoy the soundtrack that they put to your date? It was like majestic.
Seriously, there's no actual music on the date, but I feel like even being there, I felt the music in the sunset.
You were like, I know what this is going to seem like on TV. Yeah. It's very cinematic. So it was funny. Jared was doing a voiceover, and I remember Emma and I were both like, wow, this is what his voice sounds like. Like, he's been on the show so much, but he's never really had much of a plot before where he's talked a lot. Like, we've seen him with Ashley, and she's been very emotional, and he's just been sort of like,
And he's very even-keeled, and so I was actually excited just to hear him seeming excited and expressing emotions, because he's very, like,
things about someone that was new, and that was kind of fun.
It was really sweet to see, and he's just adorable, and I think he becomes more vocal when he's more confident and passionate about how he's feeling, and I think that kind of comes out this episode.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, it was pretty cute. And I was like, wow, that's a really strong accent that I didn't know he had, and yet I've been watching him on TV
for two years.
Yeah. The one thing that Jared did that kind of annoyed me this episode, though, was when he pulled Emily aside, and I have to mention this because it annoyed me so much. He pulled Emily aside, and he was like, I think, Kayla asked me out, so I don't know. What do you think? And it's like, just tell her you're going on the date. He made Emily basically say that he should go, and I found that a little cowardly.
Well, I feel like this is Jared's one, like, major flaw, and everyone has one, is that he's not always the most straightforward.
You mean he's not perfect?
Yeah. What? People are complete human beings.
But if he was perfect, that would be bad, too.
Yeah,
so,
that's
you
true.
Really can't win. But I do think, you know, and this is something we kind of see come up with Ashley and the way she talks about their relationship, is that he wants, and this is like a very human impulse, he wants everyone to approve of his behavior. He wants to be universally liked. And sometimes trying to be the good guy too much ends up resulting in some miscommunications. So yeah. I think we saw a little bit of that in him wanting Emily to approve of something that obviously, like, no, she yeah. didn't want him to go on another date.
It was almost
if he
like,
wanted to, he definitely should have.
It's the kind of thing where, like, later, if he was a bad person, he could go back and be like, you told me to go on the date. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That didn't, as far as
he's
we can
not
tell,
a bad
happen.
Person,
but,
so.
Like, I was like, that's such, like, the kind of setup for that.
It's a dude thing. Oh. It's such a dude thing.
And we have a comment about Jared that we can have Kayla address because it's about Jared in person from Jesse Albin.
Mm-hmm.
Does Jared have some kind of animal magnetism in person that we can't see on TV? Seems like a nice dude, but I don't get all the angst over him.
I think, you know, there's just some inner confidence and like mysteriousness about Jared. When you see him, he has this like smirk and this smile that's very engaging, I must say. And I think that's what kind of enticed, you know, Emily and I and, you know, in the greatest sense, Ashley.
Yeah.
Right.
I also like the confidence that Jared has that he's never fixed his teeth, like, in the way that, like, everyone who goes on The Bachelor, they come back for the next season with the upgrade where, like, everything about them looks weirdly perfect. Like, their teeth are all brand new.
They have extensions.
Yeah, and every time we see Jared, he's just the same fucking guy.
He is definitely one of the people that I'm like, I want to meet you in person. Because I feel like there's something about him that probably doesn't necessarily come across on TV.
Honestly, I think what it is he's the most humble human being on the face of the earth. And no matter who you are, he will make you feel comfortable and make you feel appreciated. And that's why everyone loves him. That's yeah. He's like everyone's hometown hero. Like, or that's yeah. our last episode we were together. But anyway, he just is the guy everyone's rooting for.
Yeah. He makes me think of like your older brother's friend who is, like, way nicer than your older brother. And you're like, I wish he was my older brother.
Is this a feeling you've had, Claire?
Yes. Sorry, Sam, I love you. My brothers are great. Anyway,
we have another comment from Cheryl who says, Kayla's so sweet.
Yes.
Oh, thanks,
true.
Cheryl. Big hug to you.
Yeah. We agree, obviously.
Totally.
It's why we like having Kayla on the show so much.
Yeah, so after the date, it seems like the date went really well. You guys were really vibing each other and playing cards and things that you do when you're connecting.
Yeah.
Is that like an accurate representation of what was happening?
I think it was pretty accurate. At the same time, they showed like how I kind of wanted to take it slow just because, I don't know, I didn't want to rush, but at the same time, it's paradise and you're supposed to. So
you have a limited time.
It's yeah. funny. Like on that horse date, I specifically said to Jared, it's like, I'm going to take things slow. And about 3 seconds later, he like comes in for the kiss. And I see him coming like at the music and I'm like, okay, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I guess this is it. Okay.
Yeah,
that was a very subtle signal you were sending. You're like, I want to take things slow. He's like, I think that means this is the right time.
I saw you and Emily tweeting a little bit. She got a little bit. A little
feisty.
Bit mean
yeah,
about
she's
you.
A little feisty.
Yeah,
it's okay.
But it seemed like you guys have made up.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what people say behind your back, and if she has this tension with me, I kind of appreciate her bringing it out in the open. We kind of talked about it, and we had a girls' weekend this last weekend, and we're all good. So
that's good.
They're both. Yeah. I appreciate how vocal and honest they are with their feelings, and they're great girls.
Yeah, they definitely lay it all out there, like to the point that you're just like, if there's something else you're keeping in there, it must be really crazy.
I guess that's like, why they're great like, on TV.
Yeah. Well, it's like Leah, too. It's like the kind of crazy sort of logic of, like, he's going to pick her because she's more beautiful than me. Why do I always get rejected for girls who are less beautiful than me? She's trying to take my life. And you're like, those things don't make sense together. But she's feeling all of them, you know? It's just,
emotions
like, a lot.
Are complicated. We can all, you know, maybe lash out in our less ideal moments.
And Emily, for the most part, aside from all those in the moments, handled it pretty well.
She seemed to, after to settle out pretty quickly after and be like,
after she put in all that work to get Jared to kiss her. I can't blame her.
She did look really pretty. You know?
And they're beautiful girls.
Yeah.
And I'm really liking their paradise makeup. It's
I'm just impressed that it stays on in that humidity.
I know. I don't know how they do it. So that is when the storm blows in. And did you see this coming, that Ashley was going to be arriving?
I feel like I felt it coming. I don't know. You just can't have everything go your way, especially in this setting. And I knew that we had spoken before and she mentioned that she was coming. Hence, everything that unfolded.
Right.
But, I think this was healthy for all parties.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your take. Obviously, we got to hear a bit from Ashley last night, her feelings on what happened before Paradise.
Right.
From your perspective, you know, what kind of went down? Because you had met Ashley before.
Yes. Ashley and I had hung out a couple times, and I still to this day think she's super sweet and super genuine, and I hope one day that we can get back to where we were. Before Paradise, we had hung out, and she said, Kayla, you can't come here. Like, you, whatever you do, don't come to Paradise because I know Jared will like you. And I said, don't worry, I'm not coming. And at the time, I was dating somebody. At the time, I had no intention of coming. And even after I had broken up with that person, I was like, I don't think I'm coming. And it was a very last minute decision. And I didn't think that I needed to, like, call her and get her approval to come meet somebody new. You know, originally I mentioned to her that I wouldn't come. I made that promise. And apparently I should have called her in the end of the day. But I came anyway. And I was, you know, that's kind of how Paradise works. You want to be a surprise. I thought it would be fun to see who's there. You know, girls really don't like surprises. They really want a heads up. If a girl says she wants a surprise engagement or something like that, it's
not
she's
true.
Probably lying.
No.
She wants her makeup done. Yeah. She, you know.
She wants her manicure.
Exactly.
She wants
to be on the horse.
Also, like, every surprise engagement I've heard of in the past few years among my friends, the guys, like, set up a manicure for her on the same day. And I'm like, well, then the engagement isn't a surprise. It's like, how often does your boyfriend do that for you?
True.
That's definitely true. Like, Ashley does not handle surprise well. Mm-hmm. It is, like, it's tough because, you know, it's tricky to navigate those social dynamics of, like, I like this guy, you're my friend, you should stay away. But then, like, that is totally what Paradise is. Like, you all know each other. Right. You're all dating the same people.
I also didn't know when she would be coming in. She came in literally the day after me. So I had only known Jared probably about 12 hours, and she was acting as if we were getting engaged. She'd gotten me this ring, you know. You know, we're madly in love. Like, the horses were, you know, our cars.
Right, and you're thinking we went on one date that was good.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
And I also think, I mean, let's be honest, the producers very intentionally sent Ashley in right after you hit it off with Jared.
Yeah.
Like, we can acknowledge,
that
is what
Josh
they're there
right
for.
After Nick went on his date with Amanda.
Right. That's, you know, part of the game of this show is to produce that drama.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have a comment. Raya wants to know, do you watch Unreal? I don't know if that's who that's directed at, but we do.
Yeah.
I've seen the first few episodes of the first season.
Yeah.
And then it was a little too much for me. Honestly,
though, I must
say Unreal is... I don't even know if I should say this. Unreal, I think, is a lot more akin to Paradise than it is The Bachelor.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I will let you interpret that the way you like.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
No, it makes sense. Like, I feel like on The Bachelor, there's such a formula. And on Unreal and on Paradise, you're always seeing the producers being like, but what if we just did this? You know, what if we just, like, had this person be here, and then what if we had a competition where everyone poured syrup over themselves? And, like, when they do that on Everlasting, I'm always a little bit like, well, The Bachelor wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they'll bring in one old contestant, tops, to shake things up. But on Bachelor in Paradise, they're very carefully, like, clearly, they're like, okay, so this guy's made a connection with this
Send
girl.
Send in the conflict.
Send in the rival. Yeah. They're very calculated about it, and they're
that's
so
probably,
good.
I was going to say, that's probably what makes Bachelor in Paradise so much fun as a viewer. And I would imagine a little stressful as a person on the show, although... Yeah.
I don't even want to, I mean, they're all friends, and the way you kind of, it is telling a story, and no matter what, you know, these are kind of relationships that are going to form and unfold a certain way anyway. Mm-hmm. And so they just bring it to life a little more.
Yeah.
A little more color.
Yeah, they make it fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch After Paradise last night?
I chose not to just because of I knew there would be a little slanderous comments towards me. And anyway.
It wasn't too bad.
Oh, yeah. You're a good liar. You'd be great on Paradise.
I'm a terrible liar. Were you surprised at maybe some of the vitriol towards you, even though from maybe from the perspective of someone just coming in, it's like, what did she do? You know, like you came in, you went on a date with a guy, which is the whole concept of the show. Mm-hmm. It's like, what did you do? But then people are maybe very protective of Ashley.
I think that,
Did that surprise you?
It did kind of surprise me how close they were to Ashley and how much they sided with her. But at the same time, I do know that she's really close with everybody and she has really deep roots. And, you know, that's kind of the name of the game. That's her shtick. That's her thing. This is her life. And so... there's a reason why people love her and they wanted to protect her. And I totally understand that. And I kind of stepped on that territory.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. It's a
really tough situation
really
to navigate.
Tough. It's funny. Like, I always watch Ashley with Jared and I see myself so much in her. But like, like 8 years ago and I'm 28. Like Ashley is. So I'm always like, oh, I wish that she had this relationship like I did in college and it would be super embarrassing and all that, but no one films it. And then you graduate and like you move on. And it's like she's having that sort of first love hang up where you're like, our relationship is special and he's going to see it someday. Mm-hmm. That most of us have had at one point. But...
Especially with someone who then becomes a really close friend.
And that's why I understand why it's so deep and intense and it hurts so bad, because I remember that first love. You do too. And you still hold on to it. And so I can see why it's just so passionate to her.
Yeah. But it's also, it's hard because I'm like, these people care about Jared too. It's so unfair to Jared that it's like holding his love life hostage until she gets over it, which like she's never going to get over it if he doesn't move on. Like, I think that was what ultimately made me move on, was when my ex just like seriously
when you're left
got
with
into
no,
a relationship.
With no other options. Yeah. And it's like, okay, I got to pull myself out of this.
I was like, I can't see him all the time.
I did really appreciate
we're about to get back together.
I appreciated Nick's sort of like real talk.
That was amazing.
Nick is a Yoda.
Nick is great. And he also is friends with everyone, which is nice. Like he wasn't being cruel to Ashley. This is someone he's very close to. So I think he could say to her, this isn't going to happen. This isn't love. Oh, this is
amazing.
Infatuation. You're not going to be with him. And it was from a place of love for Ashley.
I must tell you, though, Nick has been telling this to Ashley for months. Like, this is like Ashley's been in love with Jared for a whole year.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of like you said, he's a really nice guy and he really hasn't just like cut the cord. And it wasn't until like this moment that she really was like, oh, my gosh, this is happening, but still doesn't want it to happen. And so maybe it is healthy. It, you know. Had to come sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does have to come. And you know, usually you look back and you're like, wow, I can't believe that I thought that it had to be that guy one day, you know.
Well, also in previews, we see that, you know, Wells may swoop in as a replacement Jared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a skinnier, more hipster Jared.
Also, I see it because
totally
although I feel like Wells and Jared sort of play that similar role in the Bachelor universe where they're kind of against type for the kind of guy that often goes on the show, which makes them very appealing, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very normal, unique, just like funny guys that you'd meet on the street that just like fate brought us together. And yeah, Ashley definitely is throwing pennies in the wells. If he does come, I don't know. Wow. Anyway.
Wow. Well, we heard that they're going to try to make Paradise's first baby, which they kept playing that teaser. Like, has there ever been a baby conceived during Paradise? And I was like, okay, like they're not going to have
wouldn't
a baby.
It be great if there was? I wonder if they'd name it Chris.
Okay, I feel like we might need to start broadening the scope a little bit.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, you by the time you arrived, a lot of this week's stuff had already gone down. So you weren't personally there for
right. We had a rose ceremony before you arrived. Lace gave her rose to Grant. Izzy gave her rose to Vinny. Those two seem like fairly solid couples up to this point.
They got to go on a double date.
They went on a double date that reminded me of Jersey Shore.
Yeah. It was pretty...
I know.
There were, like, body shots happening.
And almost a physical altercation.
When they came back, though, they said it was, like, the best date they've ever been on in their lives. So I was like, wow, that's perfect for you guys.
Okay. Like, if that's what you're into. It was a little, like, watching them during dinner was also funny to me because they're in that stage of the honeymoon relationship where they really just want to talk to each other.
Yeah.
So they're, like, a double date and each side of the table is being like, what I love about you is... And then they're like, okay, let's let the other couple do this
also,
for a moment.
Can we just have a minute where we recognize that they gave themselves celebrity couple names?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the first rule of celebrity couple names. You cannot give them to yourself.
Yeah, that's just a couple name. It's not it's like
no
a wedding
comment.
Hashtag. It's like you can say that will be our wedding.
They
hashtag.
Also they had the Fantastic Four, the Sexy Six, if you include Josh and Amanda, which like
okay. We've still never discussed why they were all making out on the same blanket last week. What is the deal with that? Do the producers, like, herd them onto the
They're
same
like,
blanket?
I think that looks comfy.
I think gravity was, like, pulling them together centrifugally. Like, how many people can we, like, bring
like
in
pile
one?
On.
Yeah.
They were like, this seems like a sexy area. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the two other couples already making out.
Also, I'm not going to lie. I felt very blessed that last night we didn't have to see Josh almost at all.
That's the great thing about him being coupled up is we don't see a lot of
Josh. We just hear some moaning every once in a while.
Oh, my goodness,
it's
guys.
It's very intense.
It's so much moaning.
Was that something you guys noticed being around it?
You know, I did not hear the moaning, personally. My bunk was very far away.
Who were you rooming with?
So the first night I roomed with Ashley, hence me in the room, trying to, like, yeah, anyway, navigate that. And then I ended up moving up with the rest of the girls. So there is a room in the house for all the, like, permanent people.
I see, but and the then, newbies get...
Yes, once you get a rose, you get upgraded to not the fantasy suite,
who
but
knew?
The...
Wow, yeah. Interesting.
I also felt like a little bit you sort of joined Carly and Sarah's girl crew briefly, which I really enjoyed.
Those girls are bomb.
Yeah.
You know, they know how to have a good time. No matter what, they've got their girl tribe and nothing's stopping them.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts of the episode was when they invited Daniel and Evan up to their little room to drink wine and, like, do push-ups.
While Evan was apparently on some pretty intense foot medication.
Yeah, can you shed some light on this? He had an infection or something?
It was really serious. His ankles look like tree trunks.
Oh, my God.
And I thought that he would, like, he should, like, literally have been laying flat the whole day. And,
oh, my God.
And he was on this intense medicine, drinking on top of that, not knowing this combo would cause him to, like, not just hallucinate, but just say random things. And poor Carly's trying to think, like, oh, like, am I supposed to make sense of this? Like, who is this man? God. Is this really the real Evan?
Oh my God. So you think, okay, this is actually making a lot more sense.
The whole time Evan we've been seeing was actually, like, Evan in a state of psychosis.
I think just this, like, last episode on his medicine, yeah.
Yeah, he was being a little, he was like, I think Carly may be the only medicine I need, like, about to pass out. It's like, oh, Evan, you need to be on an IV right now. Poor Evan. But he really worked that. And I loved, so, I mean... The night before, Carly gave her rose to Evan because She's like, we have this friendship. There's no one else here that I really would want to stay more than Evan, even though I just dumped him. So she gives her rose to Evan. He's like, doors back open. What? And then he gets sick and he's like, I'm going to the hospital, Carly. So what do you want to do about that?
Do you want me to join you?
He like really made that happen.
I know. I feel like they didn't make it explicit enough that he was actually sick. The way they edited it sort of left the impression that he might be faking this illness, which would have been very creepy.
Which is what we thought originally.
Oh, really?
Because like, he had this ankle bandage, and we're like, whatever, whatever. It's a Band-Aid. But then just with the medicine, you know, he just couldn't get up and just was like a physical ailment.
Aww,
oh, my
Evan.
God.
But we did, like, everyone was like, oh, my gosh, he's faking it so he can make out with Carly. What a move.
Yeah.
It's a really creepy move.
I think it was Sarah said, like, faking your own death to get a kiss is like crazy. And I was like, yeah, because once you're dead, no one's going to kiss you. So
Bethany Wilson wonders, are Carly and Evan still together?
No spoilers. Yeah, this is a spoiler-free podcast.
I don't think we can tell that yet. I guess we'll have to continue watching.
Wait and see.
Yeah.
Raya Musalam asks, were you worried about contracting Zika? That's pretty serious. Serious life issues.
I did Google it before, and there's no Zika in Mexico.
Yet.
But there is Zika in Florida, so, you know, we can
don't
all
go to Florida.
Look forward to...
I mean, you should never go to Florida. I'm kidding. Floridians, I love you. Key West is great. And Jamie Lee says, Nick is better than Jared, but, like, better sign. Sorry, Kayla. I think they're two of the best guys that we are still seeing anything of, because I was really liking Vinny, and then he got really established, and we've seen nothing of him since then.
I know. I it seems like maybe next week, once there's conflict in Paradise, with him and Izzy, we'll see more of Vinny.
It was really sad. He was like, you're going to see everything I said, and like, I'm going to see everything you said. And I was like, yes, it's a TV show. Like, tell me more about what you mean by that.
No.
Yeah, it was strange. But anyway, yeah, I love that Carly was sort of won over by Evan in the hospital bed. But I was also sort of like,
can we just comment on that blood squirting out, like as if it was fake blood? And that wasn't fake.
Oh, my God.
That medic literally didn't know how to do it.
How to put in the IV.
And it's so funny because Evan is a medic, and he told us later he wanted to just put it in his vein himself.
And they wouldn't let him?
And they wouldn't let him, but he probably would have done a better job.
Yeah. I was like, that's just a nightmare when you go in and they're like, we're going to put an IV in or we're going to draw blood, and all of a sudden the person can't find your veins. Ugh. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. I was really squirming.
I think it was her first day.
Oh, God.
They're like, yeah, you get assigned to the reality TV people.
Yeah, that's why she wanted to take them to the hospital. She was like, I cannot deal with this.
Something that Ashley said on the after show last night that was not about you, but that was hilarious, was someone brought up, like, why did they seem to be having such a good time at the hospital? And she was like, the air conditioning.
Ooh. Yeah. She's on point there.
Yeah.
Go, Ashley.
I would just, like starve myself enough to pass out. I get hypoglycemic really easily. It would take like a day. And then I would just go to the hospital every day.
And luxuriate in the, you know, cool temperatures.
I am not a great candidate for Paradise. I love air conditioning. So Carly's back on the Evan train. I thought that was really cute.
Oh, that was adorable.
I'm kind of into them as a couple.
I love them.
I also feel like Carly needs a relationship where she can sort of be the one in control. I kind of like seeing her in the power position.
It seems like her natural state.
Because the current relationship last year, you know, he was sort of the dominant one kind of guiding it. And I want to see her taking the lead.
Yeah.
She's also like I think because of that, she's a no hold back kind of person. And I think going to this Paradise, she was like, I'm going to let you know how I'm feeling, whether you like it or not. Most of the time not, but when she likes you, it's like for real.
Yeah. No, that's true. And she really liked Kirk. And I think that sort of gave Kirk the opportunity to not think too much about how much he liked Carly. Like, he enjoyed spending time with her, and so he sort of
just
let the time pass.
Yeah.
Whereas she's given Evan sort of a hard time, and Evan
Evan's
had,
like, no, I still like
yeah,
this girl.
It's like, Carly is terrible to me, but, like, okay, yeah. I can make this happen.
And they have really cute moments together, too.
Yeah.
So
I'm just wondering how he feels watching all of this back. There was a lot of in the moments that was...
I don't think he's on medication anymore, so he's allowed to drink.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I would certainly be chugging wine if I had to watch
Twitter,
myself.
He has been drinking a lot. He's very open about it. It's funny watching him tweet about it. It seems like he's seeing it all for the first time. So he is, like, a very good actor. He's just like, I can't believe Carly would do that to me. And then, like, next week he's like, yeah, she's back on the Evan train. I'm like, Evan, this already happened to you.
You knew this was coming. Well, his Twitter feed, I mean, we've said this before, but it's really entertaining.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. Evan, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, he's great on Twitter. I feel like a lot of you guys are great on Twitter. I love that people in the franchise get to be on Twitter now. And in the past, it wasn't so much of a thing, but it adds so much to the experience.
It really does. Also, it's a nice reminder, like, everyone who goes on the show is a human being.
Yes.
It's good to remember that.
Yeah. We're human beings, too.
Yeah.
You know? So, if you're thinking of saying that we're fat in the comments, just, like, you know, keep it to yourselves. We have a comment, actually, that is not about that. Fortunately, from Jessica Miller, what happened after the rose ceremony where Sarah gave Daniel her rose and sent Christian home? It didn't show why Daniel and Sarah aren't talking anymore. I think
That's
it sort
true.
Of did, actually, because what happened is that Daniel decided to go on the date with Ashley, and he told Sarah, and she was bummed about that. But she was like, okay. And then after that, it seemed like Daniel sort of like, okay, like, women want me now. I'm going to pay Jen to go on
I want Sarah to get more love. I really enjoyed that last week, seeing Christian and Daniel kind of jockey for her affections. I'm not sure either of them are really
even her conversation
the right
with Vinny,
her, but,
even though, you know, that didn't pan out.
Yeah.
She just lit up.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah. She's great.
I think that she would honestly, like, I love Sarah. I want to like see her find love. I sort of feel like she'd do better off of Paradise, because Paradise is so much about that moment where they bring in a shiny new person.
Yeah.
And all the guys are like, "Huh?" You know, like, it's like the minute that you came in, they were all like, "She's the hottest thing. Every guy wants her." And then as soon as Jen came in, they were like, "She's the hottest thing. Every guy wants her." And I'm like, "Well,
what?
You just
Whiplash.
Said that about someone else." You know, obviously multiple women can be the hot, but it's like, it's the newness, and it's really hard to compete with that unless you're really strategic or you're really like, and I feel like
Sarah's not,
so
she's
sweet.
Not really playing the game
she
ever.
She doesn't play the game. She's too nice.
Which I like about her.
Yeah.
I just think she, Daniel is probably not the right person for her in the long run.
Also, Sarah, like, knows what she's worth. Like, that girl has strength. Like, I love her. She has this new charity called She Lift that everyone should donate to, that, you know, empowers young girls to find their inner strength and conquer their mountains. And she just, like, knows what she's worth and isn't going to settle for less. And with Daniel, you know, she was really bummed because she wanted him to say, I'm not going to go on this date. Or she even was, like, I was sitting next to her at the pool, and she was like, you know, I really wish he would have just taken me aside alone.
So
and
he
we
didn't
had a
talk
one-on-one.
To her.
Yeah, just kind of.
He just, like, crouched next to all of you. And was
right.
Like,
oh,
so.
Yeah.
The same way Jared did to, you know, Emily, which kind of was a personal moment.
Yeah.
She was hoping for that, too.
Yeah. No,
that's fair.
True.
I would hope for that also.
Yeah. It is one of those things where, and you see Sarah, like, experiencing this, and we're sort of experiencing it with her, is, like, we had low expectations of Daniel, and then during his little relationship, mini relationship with her, they sort of heightened. You're like, maybe he's capable of so much more. And then he goes on the date with Ashley, and he's like, your virginity arouses me. Do you want my Canadian bacon?
And sausage and
who's
poutine.
Who's Sarah? And you're like, oh, my God. He is like, what
also,
happened?
I was like, look, Daniel, please do not ruin poutine for me. It's the maybe greatest thing to come out of Canada. So
I really
insist
don't. I don't even know how you could use poutine in a sexual way.
It's not sexual.
Canadian bacon is also not You know what? We're not going to get into describing the shapes and consistencies of Canadian foods right now, but, like, they don't seem very sexual to me. So
I mean,
nice try, Daniel.
Honestly, that is just Daniel. He, like, brings light to the situation. And no matter how romantic it is, like, no matter how many candles can be around you and how much glow can be on your, you know, beautiful face, he's going to, you know, say something weird and talk about, you know, eagles and birds and fowl.
A lot of bird metaphors from him.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
Birds are the only living dinosaurs. And I think Daniel...
He got shirtless on the after show. He offered to have a threesome with Sean and Catherine.
Yeah. That which freaked Sean out.
That really freaked Sean out.
Sean was like, why did I bring up my wife? Big mistake.
Oh.
Yeah, when he took off his shirt, Michelle Collins was like, in person, this is really a lot. And I was like, on TV, it's a lot.
You know how you have, like, a luge or, like, where you take shots down.
Yeah.
I feel like his body would be perfect for that because he has so many crevices. Like, just, you know, sit at the bottom and wait for them to trickle down.
He would love that.
He would. It's, like, probably his ideal life.
He would also love it if someone else who looked exactly like him was available for that because he loves drinking off of other people's bodies.
True.
For whatever reason. Like, his ideal paradise would just be all of you using each other as ice luges all the time.
It's the new salt on the margarita rim.
Yeah, exactly.
Salty body.
Okay, that's what all the sweat is for.
What have we missed? We haven't talked about Jen and Nick at all.
Oh, cutest couple award.
They were pretty cute. It was funny how, like, Jen came in and was sort of like, oh, she's pretty reserved. And immediately she was just like, I'm intrigued by you, Nick. Did you know that dolphins are the only animals that have sex for pleasure?
I loved that. I thought that was hilarious.
Wow. She's changing her image.
She tweeted something like, quoting that and with an awkward face emoji and being like, smooth move, Jen.
She is hilarious. She does have, like, some funny moves that
we hardly got to see her on Ben's season.
I just remember her from that conversation where she pulled Ben aside and they managed to light her boobs,
like,
but not
only
her face.
Her boobs. Yeah. Oh,
and I was,
she's sitting down on the ground, right?
She's sitting on, like, a fountain or something.
Yeah.
Low down, and they have all this light focused on her cleavage,
but none on her face.
And you can't really see who she is.
We see what you're doing. We see it.
Yeah. So that's how I've thought of her until now, and now I think of her as the dolphin sex girl. But really. Really, she's very beautiful and sweet. And also, I want Nick to find love.
I know. I'm excited about this one.
Yeah. And they were really cute together.
And he was, like, so manly, like, brushing away those crabs, saving her as if they were going to, like, eat her, you know.
There were a lot of animal metaphors and imagery in this episode.
Yeah.
That, I would not have continued to sit on that beach if there were that many crabs coming
towards
me.
But instead they laid down on it in bathing suits to make out. That was dedication.
Truly.
They were like, we want our, what's that movie where there's the, they're making out in the waves? This is embarrassing. I should know this. They wanted that moment from Here to Eternity or something.
I don't know.
They wanted that moment where they're making out in the crashing waves, and they're like, if we're making out amongst crabs instead,
I was just waiting for crabs to pinch them.
Yeah.
And then they would go to the, maybe they were hoping to go to the hospital with the air conditioning. They're like, we'll make out, and then we'll get to be in the AC from a crab wound.
It is a strategy. You know, they're like, here's four cards you can play.
Yeah.
Pick one.
Okay, last thing we really have to talk about before we wrap up is Josh and Evan's confrontation.
Oh, God, that was this week.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
And
I've, like, blocked it out because I want as little Josh as possible on my screen.
So, very brief recap. Evan makes a play for Amanda because Carly has dumped him, and he's like, well, I always wanted Amanda anyway. So he writes himself a date card, goes and, like, pulls Amanda physically off of Josh's body because she's, like, sucking face. And he's like, I have a date card that says, Evan, you deserve love. Go get a heart blast in the treehouse with Amanda or something. And Amanda's like, okay. So
she's very gracious about the whole thing.
Yes. And so, which left him thinking that they might be dating.
Right. But then he goes back.
Because he was a little
He goes
loopy.
Back and tells her about, you know, the...
Yes.
And we've discussed this before. The very disturbing claims that are in Andy Dorfman's book.
Yeah. And he's like, be careful with Josh. Not like, be with me instead, per se, but like, since you're doing this, like, be careful. Mm-hmm. And Amanda is like, why is this happening? I want to just have fun with Josh and not think about how he emotionally abused someone, maybe, allegedly. And then she talks to Lace, and Lace is like, yeah, we all told you to be careful of Josh as women, which I thought was interesting because we didn't see that initially.
Yeah, it was interesting. And then, of course, Amanda lets Josh know that this happened. And she tries to be like, Evan was really respectful of our connection, but, like, he did tell me these things.
She doesn't want Josh to talk
Josh
to Evan.
Josh obviously flips out and gets very aggressive. Repeatedly, again, refers to Andy's book as a fictional story written by my ex.
A fictional novel.
Okay.
Which the redundancy just hurts my soul. So the thing is, like, that he's so insistent with Evan that Evan should have come to him about it as if this were, like, a bro-to-bro problem. But it's not. It's like, if you're worried about a woman's safety,
you should probably go to her.
It's like, it's, you can talk to her. You don't have to go to the guy and be like, I'm worried that you might, you know, reduce her to a shell of herself emotionally. Because, like, what good is that going to do? It was just very weird to me. I mean, you don't have to weigh in on this because it's, like, heavy material. And
if you want to touch these people, don't worry.
But I thought that was very weird. And then, you know, Evan handled himself very well in that conversation.
I was very impressed with Evan. First of all, he brings up the really valid point of, if this is all fictional, why didn't you sue her for libel?
And Josh really does not know how to respond. He's like, I'm trying to take the high road. I'm just going to go on TV and call her a liar. It's like, so gentlemanly.
And then he says, Evan was very funny because Josh is speaking in all these, you know, inspirational quotes about God.
It's like, God knows what happened and that's all that matters. I just have to live my truth and then I have to conquer these challenges.
And Evan makes some pretty funny comments. He says something like, there's an ocean of words, but no thoughts.
Which is so true.
And I, too, am suspect of people who only speak in inspirational quotes. So I related to this.
Yeah, he just said, and someone asked me on Twitter, like, was he really being polished? Evan accused him of being polished. And he sort of is. He has a lot of turns of phrase at hand to make himself sound good. But when Evan kind of probed those, he had nothing behind that. So he panicked and he just started spewing them out faster and faster. So in the end, he was sort of like, you don't have to, you know, I don't have to defend myself. And I was like, okay, well, then you shouldn't have started this conversation because no one asked you to be a part of it. And so that's sort of where it ends. And Amanda's, you know, and Nick goes to Amanda, too, and is like, you should be careful of Josh. And she still gives her rose to Josh. And then they like make out in front of everyone, like, forever. They never stop making out. I've never seen anything like it.
But I am so glad that I almost forgot about this exchange because that is kind of the last we saw of Josh and on the subject, and we got to move on to other people. You know, I'd rather watch Nick find love. I'd rather watch you, Kayla. Like, I'm thrilled that we got to, you know, focus on some other things.
Yeah. So I think we have to wrap it up for today.
Kayla has to actually go to her real job.
Yes.
Go to work.
So, yeah.
Thank you so much to everyone for watching and listening. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks so much to our guest, Kayla Quinn. And thanks to everyone for listening.
Bye.
Bye. And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail Scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
All right, it's time for Feminism Fails, and it was a crazy week. First of all, Emily is super confused why men reject her for girls who are uglier than she is, because women are basically just objects. Poor Emily. We're going to just give that a 3.
And then Daniel fetishizes Ashley's virginity and wonders whether she wants his Canadian bacon and sausage and poutine. And later on after Paradise, he talks about taking first blood from her. The whole thing was gross. Let's just a 4.5 for, come on, stop fetishizing her virginity. Ashley is more than that. And, like, stop sexualizing poutine.
Next, Ashley calls Kayla a backstabbing whore for going on one date with Jared. I don't think that whore means what Ashley thinks it means. And you know what? Let's just stop calling women that. We're going to give that a 4.
And then Ashley's parrot therapist suggests drowning Kayla. Not really a funny joke. Let's just give that one a 4. I don't know. Yeah.
There's some fun cultural and cultural appropriation and exoticizing going on this week. On After Paradise, Michelle Collins says Kayla with her like eyes is like an anime character. That's just, think about what you're saying, Michelle Collins. Just like think about it for half a second. Also, the Aztec, quote unquote Aztecs, carrying off Ashley as a virgin sacrifice. Ugh. Like, come on. It's 2016. Get it together. That's all just going to be a blanket 5.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends.
Check out our sibling podcast, So That Happened, a weekly discussion of politics and news from our DC Bureau colleagues. You can subscribe to So That Happened on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Speaking of subscribing, do you want to make our day, our week, even our life? Here's something. Find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a rating. Every time we get a new subscription or review, our show rises on the iTunes chart, which helps other people find our show.
Plus, Here to Make Friends is now on Facebook. Please like us. We love to be liked. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. Or you can send us an email, heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday for another week in paradise. Don't miss it.